Isn't everything you need to know about the Padres franchise that they're literally named after fathers and they've got an under 500 record on Father's Day all the time? They lose today. They're swept by the Mets. They've been swept by the Mets, Angels, and Rockies this year.
Nice.
They missed the postseason. I wonder if we'll mention that at all.
Maybe.
In October. All right, make your way in. It is the wrap-up show. Padres swept in New York. They lose today 11-6. They made a game of it. We'll get into what transpired over the course of the afternoon. Mike Schilt, Manny Machado ejected, Tim Leaper, a stop sign, Jeremiah Estrada beat up, Dylan Cease beat up. There's a lot to react to. So as you make your way in, please subscribe. We are your home for real Padres talk. So please subscribe here on content. Hit the like button for us. We really appreciate that. Happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. You can follow us at X, at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Thank you for the super chats. We'll get to every single one of them here tonight. Apologize for being a minute or two late, but we'll get to every single super chat here tonight. And thank you for becoming members as well. If you want emojis and badges, you can click that join button down below. But fall behind early, we've seen this theme play out before. Playing a quote-unquote bad team, not that the Padres are a good one. The difference between the Mets and the Padres is one game right now. But same old story, fall behind, Dylan Cease ineffective. Offense does something somehow, some way in the eighth inning to fool us, and then they end up losing 11-6. It doesn't get easier in Philadelphia. Two left-handed starters against a Phillies team that's struggling right now. You know they're going to be hungry coming back home. So bit of a danger spot here. Under 500, heading to Philadelphia for the Padres here, 75 games into the year, Jim.
Yeah, there's no way to look at this weekend other than flat out embarrassing. There, nothing. Nothing was a positive. Nothing. They led for a half an inning, John.
Kolek?
No. No. Again, when these types of things happen, when this team goes on five-game losing streaks or they get swept, right? Just everybody out there, do yourself a favor. And whatever you do, don't ever listen to Mike Schilt when this team is going through rough patches. Just don't listen to him, because he's going to lull you into a false sense of reality for what this team is. And frankly, it's just, again, I can't say it enough. It's embarrassing when I hear Mike Schilt after these types of series or four or five game losing streaks or just really bad games in general. Just everybody out there, please do yourself a favor and don't listen to the manager of the Padres. That's number one. Number two, I said it on Thursday, and I specifically remember a text on our text line for John and Jim. And the text was, I mean, I don't know exactly what it said, but along the lines of, Jim, we just got the sweep. Why aren't you fully happy? Just be happy. We got the sweep against the Oakland A's. You know why I wasn't fully happy with the sweep after the Oakland A's series, which I was happy, but I wasn't like, oh, this team has finally done it. It's because of this shit that's happened this weekend. Because you can't trust this team. For the last, what, 2 years? Three of the last 4 years? You can't trust this team. They are never consistent. They're a 500 baseball team for, what, the last 4 years or 3 years?
Not 2022, but I mean, since the start of 2023, they're literally 500.
Right. I mean, they're just, they're untrustworthy. They're an untrustworthy ball club with your fandom out there. You give them your fandom, they're going to make you literally go insane. They are going to make you go batshit crazy, because one day you think they're like amazing, the next day you're done with them. I mean, they are never going to give you a consistent relationship. They're going to give you the most toxic thing on the planet. And I mean, everyone's going to come back no matter what. We're coming back. You guys are coming back. And it's just, you know, I hope that everybody's lives are good, because if you base your life and your emotions off of this team, you go through it every single day.
Remember the, hey, look out. Like, LA is only like 6.5 games in front
of
them. Stop.
No.
Just stop with LA. Even though they have their own issues, but stop with LA. Here's you want the glass half full. Don't, you know, step off the ledge. Step back from the ledge.
Yeah.
Which is, they're completely fine.
Right.
They're completely fine.
Completely fine.
This league isn't good. not to say the Padres are, and there's a lot of teams vying for a very limited number of postseason spots. You got nine teams for two spots, essentially. The Padres are one of them. The other teams aren't exactly scary, nor are the Padres. I think AJ Preller will add. I don't know if the other teams will. I think teams will fall off. I don't know if the Padres will. I think they're a 500 team. But so that's the glass half full. They're fine. I mean, literally.
It's crazy. Like nothing happened this weekend that was a negative,
yeah,
as far as standings go.
So the bad is this, though. You've got real injuries impacting this team. You've got Darvish and Musgrove. We'll see about Darvish. He might be back sooner rather than later. You got an issue with Adam Mazur. Dylan Cease has not been consistently good here recently. He's allowed a ton of home runs.
Probably.
I don't think Luis Arraez is fully healthy. I know he's hit the ball. I don't think he's fully healthy. I'm watching these games. Manny Machado clearly is not fully healthy. So, like, you have a team that isn't fully healthy, that isn't playing good baseball, that cannot hit left-handed pitching, that's going to Philadelphia. So, again, it's not good, but because you're in the – if this was the American League, I'd be like, are they going to be sellers? Like, that would be my conversation. Are they sellers? There's still enough time to not be a seller. That would be my conversation in the American League. In the National League, I would never have that conversation. They'd have to lose 13 straight to be sellers. So – that's how I see it. The other thing is, I know people have been all over Manny, including us, this weekend. Friday, we did a 90-minute show, and then I cut it back up for YouTube, and I had 65 minutes on our Manny Machado conversation. And that's taken out sponsors. So we spent 65 of 90 minutes on Manny Machado. I gave Manny credit today for actually doing what he did with the umpire and being like, this is bogus, this is BS, showing like he cares, giving a shit. Interestingly, I have no clue if it had to do with it or not. They actually got back into the game, had the go-ahead run on base, held the tying run with two outs there in the eighth inning. But, I have no issue with Manny Machado getting ejected there. I just don't. The plate umpire was awful today. That pitch was not a strike. He showed his emotions. I'm kind of cool with it because the Padres were on the verge of getting swept by the New York Mets. So I was 100% cool with that, but that doesn't change the narrative that Manny has really struggled, although did have an RBI hit here today before being ejected.
I'm a little different than you, and that's fine. You feel that
you're a lot
fine.
Different than me.
That's fine. I don't feel that way with Manny. I feel kind of that it was like, it felt like the easy way out. You're upset. Manny. You're upset with yourself mostly. Now the umpire is a bad call, and he was bad for both sides. I mean, some of these pitches, I'm looking back on Gamecast, and it's like right in the fucking middle, and you're like,
well, he missed 20 pitches today.
I mean, it's just a god awful umpire. Again, speaks to the problem with Major League Baseball and their umpires being just fucking absolutely abysmal. But, if Manny's hot, does he do that?
If Manny is hot, does he? I don't know. I mean, the team isn't hot. So even hot,
I'm just talking about, I'm talking about individually Manny Machado. If they're still trailing and they're still about to get swept in the series 7-1, but say he's hitting 450 his last 12 games, I don't think so.
I don't know if we can answer that. I really don't. I mean, it's not like he had a hit today. It's not like he was struggling today.
It kind of just, he snapped. And the second he slammed that bat down, he was looking to get, he's going to get ejected. And then Schulte had to go out there and get ejected too. I'm not going to, I personally don't think it's like, oh, look at Manny. But that's fine if you do.
I don't have an issue with a player being fiery about compared to the alternative, which is a Sunday Night Baseball year ago, and they're all smiling in the dugout. So this to me is much preferred over the alternative.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Well, also, hustle down the line.
That's different. We talked about that. That's different. That's a different conversation. And also, he's not healthy, which is another conversation.
Yeah, well, in general, Manny Machado has been, this year for him has been a disaster of a season for him, personally, like on the field, because he looks like a complete shell of himself. I mean, he's got 6 home runs, John. June 16th.
No, I'm with you. I've been critical of Manny just like you have. I can say Manny has struggled all year every single night. I can say that every single night until he hits 6 home runs in a 10-game stretch or 5. But I'm just saying in this moment, down 7-2 in the 6th inning, it's a risk-reward proposition. I'll get tossed there over one future AB in the game. See what I'm saying? Like, why not? Well, what's the negative? What are you going to do to hurt? What have you done to hurt your team? If anything, you've helped them. Because maybe someone says, someone show up. You know, someone do something.
They had that fake comeback in the eighth inning there. That Schulte
was very fake. I mean, if not for Jake Diekman throwing a ball into center field, I mean, they shouldn't have scored in the inning. But that's how the Padres do. I mean, here's the thing, and I want to let's have the leaper conversation right now. Everyone can say after the fact they should have sent him because the inning ends. Mm-hmm. Nobody would have said send him if Fernando Tatis Jr. doubles down the right field line. He didn't, and Tatis really struggled this series after a 17-game inning streak. So that alone is perplexing. I'm telling you, Starling Marte, for all of his defensive inefficiencies, and there are a ton of them, has a strong-ass arm. If you watch that throw, Ha-Sung Kim would have been out by 20 feet. Marte was baiting him to go. Did you see it? He hesitated before he threw. He wanted him to go so badly. Marte, one hopper. Kim would have been out by 50 feet or 20 feet. And if Tatis comes through, nobody ever talks about it again. But I get it. He didn't come through and say, they should have sent him. If they sent him, he would have been out.
Did you see what Luis Arraez said about this?
Well, no, I did not.
Okay. He said, quote, I hit it hard. As soon as I hit it, I said, send him. But then when I saw Marte got the ball and made a perfect throw, I said, no. I know Kim is fast, but we did not have a chance to score there.
He's not that fast. He's a bad base runner. He's a really bad base runner. He's picked off in this game.
Yeah, he's not a good base runner at all.
He's not fast. He's okay. He looks like he's fast. He runs like he's fast. He would be fast, but he's not fast.
And the hindsight of it all is amazing. Everybody has the hindsight.
Yep.
But when you have, and I know we struggled this series, but I'm just saying, imagine Tim Leeper sends Kim. He gets thrown out of the plate. With Fernando Tatis Jr. at the up next, you are getting fired the next day.
And people are telling me, you got to know the circumstance in the batting order. I'm like, yeah, that's the thing. You kidding me? They're paying this guy $340 million. He's 25. And you want to send him in front of Fernando Tatis Jr. because you're willing to risk it there?
It
doesn't make any sense.
It's David Peralta up next, and you maybe send him there. Maybe he's thinking about it. And guess what? There's always a think ahead process for these guys. They're not just standing there reacting to what's in front of them. And then at the end of the inning, they go, oh, Tatis was up next. No, they know the situation and they have been moving the line that entire inning. Okay. Yes. I know Tatis was struggling in this series. I know he struck out four times today, which was bad. But again, the mindset of we have one of our best hitters coming up next, and in that moment, do I want to send Kim here and risk it, and force the other team to make a perfect throw? Well, he made a perfect throw, and
yeah,
he didn't send him. So to me, that's not on Leaper. I'm looking at the next guy. Fernando Tatis Jr. had a chance to drive him in, and he didn't get the job done. If you're blaming Tim Leaper today for that eighth inning, not sending Ha-Sung Kim, well, then you better be having the same amount of blame or even more for the guy that had a chance to actually do that in Fernando Tatis Jr., who struck out.
Yeah, you're right. If you're blaming Tim Leaper, then he would be 19th on your – honestly, he's not even on my list because he would have been out. I mean, it's like anything in life. You don't know because something didn't occur. Therefore, you can run through any scenario in your mind.
Nobody knows. Nobody will ever know.
But – what I do know is Marte's one-hop throw and that freaking tag that was applied, even though the runner wasn't there by the catcher, was perfection. Yeah. And likely Ha-Sung Kim wouldn't have even been in the shot, the camera shot when that tag was met. I mean, he was out by 25 feet, barring something crazy, jumps over a catcher, he gets around a tag. But I'm all for what Tim Leaper elected to do there. When you have Fernando Tatis Jr., you got to trust him to come through.
And plus, he's probably thinking in the back of his mind, John, of what happened in Anaheim when he sent Profar, right? And it was a perfect relay, and he was out at the plate. And was that with two outs as well? Or one out? I forget.
Yeah, that was with Manny on deck, maybe? What was that?
Yeah, there was. I forget. Anyway,
I mean, it's crying over spilled milk. And here's the other thing. It's the eighth inning. They then give up four You know, the Mets at the bottom of the inning.
Yeah, so
like,
it didn't
they
matter.
Actually had four outs to work with. Like, they didn't have to tie the game there. You would have preferred if they tied it or took a lead. But I'm telling you, I'm going to take my chances with Tatis in that spot as opposed to get a guy thrown out before Tatis has a chance to bat. Like you said, if he's thrown out and Tatis is in the on-deck circle, you know what everyone in the chat is saying tonight? You know what everyone's saying on social media? How on earth could you get him thrown out with Tatis on deck?
Exactly.
That's what they would say.
And we could have been like, well, in hindsight, in a different reality, he strikes out.
That's right. All right, let's get to some of these supers, guys. If you're here, subscribe. All right, we are your home for Real Padres Talk. We're with you year-round, so please subscribe. Smash the like button for us. Thank you for the super chats. We'll get to all of them here tonight. We'll tell you about our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz, coming up in a moment. Paul, thank you for the first super of the night. He says, at least Manny was good and showed his leadership. Checks notes. Oh, wait. Never mind. This is who Manny is. He's fiery. He actually doesn't get ejected that often. I don't know if it was a bad leadership quality to get tossed in that spot. There's captains that get thrown out. There's managers that get thrown out. I don't think them losing this game is on Manny's ejection, nor do I think it's on Manny, even if he doesn't get ejected in this game. So that's just my two cents. I'm not saying he's a good leader. I would err on the side if he's not a good leader, but I don't think we saw anything about his leadership. I just think he was frustrated.
Yeah, it's a culmination of, I think, personal frustration, kind of just getting to a boiling point. And when you have a shitty umpire, it makes it that much easier to just like unload and pop off. And that's what he did. I mean, I'm not going to excuse it, but I also can understand it. Like, he got rung up on a bad call, and he's having one of his worst seasons of his entire career.
I think it is the worst season of his career.
Yeah. Yeah. To this point, yes. To this point in the season, yes. And, you know, he's making a shit ton of money. You know, dealing with these injuries, I get it. But you're out there. And if you're out there, you're going to be held accountable. That's how it works. And Manny's chose that style of life in the big leagues. He's going to play injured. He's going to play hurt. He's going to post, and by posting, I mean play close to 162 games a season. To try, that's what he's going to do. But in turn, if he does not perform and these injuries and hurting is like severely affecting his game, that's kind of too bad because you're putting yourself out there. When maybe some other people are like, hey, dude, you should maybe take maybe 2 weeks here to get this right.
It's a weird situation. I mean, from what we saw play out Friday with him jogging down the first baseline to them being in the field each of the last 2 days.
We said, we're like, what the fuck?
It was a weird situation. I agree with that. I also don't think there's any scenario where he's anywhere near fully healthy. And I put it on Machado for putting him in that situation where he's at. Well, I don't put it on Machado. I put it on Machado and the organization for playing this stupid cat and mouse game with him to allow him to dictate when he goes on the IL and when he doesn't. Essentially, if he doesn't break a bone, he's not going on the IL. I think they used three different third basemen today because Manny was ejected and they pinch hit at some point. It was bizarre. He's not healthy. He's going to play. He's certainly not sitting at this point, and it is what it is. Retot, thank you. He says, I appreciate the super chat. He says, put Manny on the IL. Let's try to get the record for salary on the IL at one time.
No, it's not happening.
No, that's not ideal, unfortunately, but it's a fair point. I mean, Musgrove, Darvish, Machado not being healthy right now. Bogarts. I mean, that's crazy. That is kind of crazy how much money is on the IL.
It's crazy, but I'm not going to use it as an excuse. Some might. I'm not using it as an excuse.
No, not when a team can go 80-82 and get to the postseason. Like, we're not asking for this team to move heaven and earth to get to the postseason. This ain't 1997 where you got to win 100 games to get there. You got to win 80 to get there. Jason, thank you for the super chat. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to all the supers. He says, sometimes the offense can be as imitating as Ed Whitson's shirt off 84 Atlanta Brawl. What can be done to improve the team's lineup? Oh, that iconic, infamous Padres Braves brawl from 40 years ago. As imitating as? I mean, it's not like the lineup. I'm not sitting here like, man, if we had a better lineup, we come back from 7-1 down at City. Game's over. Most teams are done in that spot. The fact that they've actually made games of some of these is almost like remarkable to me. The game's over. You go down 4-1 in the first inning, you've got a 10% chance of winning. That is the mathematical percentage chance of winning on the road down 4-1 after an inning. 1 in 10? Mm. 1 in 9? So, like, you're screwed. So, yes, the offense isn't great. Yes, they've struggled against left-handed pitching. But there's no offense in baseball that's good trailing 7-1. None of them. None of them are built to overcome 7-1 deficits and win 50% of the time. Zero of the 30.
What did Schulte say today that was an A+? Was it their approach and, like, their, like, preparation? Yeah.
I don't even know. I the second he started talking, he said something about A+, and I was just like, oh, my God.
I'm like, whoa, dude. You're busting out A+s here.
And he talked about it for, like, 30 seconds.
And you got swept, dude, we just got gamers. Bro. I mean, God. I'm not going to get – anyway.
Yeah, I mean –
their offense is
this a lineup thing today? Or, I mean, listen, the first two games they were anemic on offense.
Dude, their
offense today they kind of did something.
Their offense is just like their record. It is a roller coaster because they one game look like, I mean, the best offensive team in baseball, and they go three straight games versus a lefty, can't do shit. I mean, really, John, if you want to break it down this last week, the four straight lefties they faced, they did not do well against those four lefties. They're horrible versus Quintana and Manaea Saturday and Friday. And
they weren't good against the A's starters.
They weren't.
Either.
The A's
I was going to tweet out the numbers, and I didn't care after set because it was bad. I mean, it. And by the way, they're facing like real left-handed pitching against the Phillies. I just screenshotted it. And the Phillies are getting Trey Turner back, but you're facing Ranger Suarez. He's got a 1.7.
Good luck.
So good luck. And you're facing Christopher Sanchez, who's got a 3.07 as a good left-handed pitcher. So, and by the way, Aaron Nola is not some walk in the park.
No.
He's actually one of the best pitchers in baseball. So those are the three you're facing, and you got Vasquez, King, Waldron. And I said this after Friday. I said, it's not like if you go 1-5 on this road trip, you've ruined your season, because you haven't, but you got work to do to not go 1-5 on this trip. You got real work. It would be impressive to not go 1-5 on this trip. They will actually show me something if they win two of the next three games in Philadelphia. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Cause in the, what was it? Fadden tweeted out.
It was like 9-10 in the 19 games in that softened schedule.
I think I said this before. There's no soft schedule with this team. There's no layups with this team. There's no easy patches with this team. You're right. It's just the schedule. And that's what it is. I'm not going to look at this schedule anymore, really. And I said August 1st is going to be like a huge part point in their season where they face like the Rockies and the Pirates and the I forget who else, the Marlins, I think it is, right?
Yeah, maybe
like
the Marlins.
14 game stretch, whatever. I'm done. I'm that's out the window. I don't trust this team at all. They haven't shown it, they haven't proven it. It's just the schedule. So there's good teams and there's bad teams, and the Padres will be playing those baseball teams, and there is no way in hell anybody out there should ever again this season, until they prove it, say the Padres should take advantage of X series. Never. Yeah, not again until they prove it.
They got to get like six games over 500 to have that conversation.
Yep. If they haven't proven it, then you can't say it.
All right. Mark Nimitz is back from Hawaii, but he is not thrilled with being back. A couple of reasons why. Padres get swept. His Hawaiian vacation is over. He's got work tomorrow, but he is here for you. If you have an insurance need, come tomorrow. He is a great insurance agent, even though he's an angry Padres fan, native San Diegan, lifelong Padres fan. If you want to save money on your insurance, look no further than Mark Nimitz. You can trust me on that. He has saved my family a ton of time and money over the years. I've got homeowners, life, and earthquake insurance through Mark, and he has saved us so much money and so much time. So whatever it is, you can click the link in the description down below to get to his website. I had to file a claim in here in 2022. We were out of our home for weeks. Mark took care of everything, saved us so much money, thousands of dollars. So I thank Mark for that. But even if you just switch your insurance, he could save you $750 or more. And he'll talk to you about your insurance. If it works, great. And if it doesn't, just talk about the Padres' inability to beat the Mets in New York. He is there for Padres fans. If you support the channel, Click the link in the description down below. Mark has been with us as our title sponsor since day one. That is 3 years on the Wrap-Up Show. So thank you, Mark, for your support. And for our viewers and listeners, make sure to click that link in the description down below.
Yep, all his information is in the ticker there. mnimitzatfarmersagent.com. When you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the Wrap-Up Show send you. He'd be
freaking living on the street if he was insuring losses.
True.
JD's third, thank you for the super chat. Guys, if you're here, subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans. If you're here, thank you for the supers. We'll get to all of them, like this one from JD's third. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. All right, so Manny McNuggets is what he's being referred to over the last couple of days here in the chat occasionally. Manny McNuggets, the IL now. Where is the general manager? When is the last time we heard from AJ publicly? It's been a few weeks now, I would say.
He's in his dungeon trying to trade off the entire farm system for a sub-500 team.
Yeah.
Once again.
He follows up by saying Manny has gained 30 pounds since 2019. Well, I don't think that's accurate, by the way. Do you?
I don't know.
I don't think he's gained more than... He's never been light. Like, he's not. I mean, if he's put on 5 or 10 pounds, he's put on 5 or 10 pounds. I don't think it's a fad.
I haven't heard from anybody that Manny's like out of shape.
No, he hasn't put on 30 pounds, dude.
No. If he'd put on 30 pounds, he'd be freaking massive.
Yeah, exactly. He needs the weight for some of his power, which he's clearly lacking right now. Like, I don't want to see this guy like lose 30 pounds. He'd never hit a home run ever again if he lost 30 pounds. He's not going to run quickly. If Manny loses, let's use this stupid number, 30 pounds, is he going to steal 25? What is losing 30 pounds going to do for Manny? Is he going to feel better? No, he already knows how to feel somehow. Is he going to run better? No. Is he going to hit for more power? No. Manny knows his body. I'll say that. He knows his body.
Yeah.
He's never just been some, rail. No. So I get it. People are coming down on Manny because he's not performing. That's fine. But to come down on Manny because he's fat, like, I don't even think he is. I just think he's getting older and he's having a bad year and he's injured.
Does it feel though? And he, to his benefit or to his credit, mm-hmm. he had benefit of the doubt last year because of what he did in 2022.
Yeah, I agree.
So, oh no.
Oh Lord. Bless you.
Ow.
don't break that Movaglob.
I didn't. Anyway. He had benefit of the doubt last year because he had the 2022 year that he had. Yep. And so you're sitting there saying, like, he just did it last year. That's given the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
But when you put up back-to-back really bad seasons, that's when people start... In the
second half of your career.
Yeah, that's when people start going, what the fuck? You lose that benefit of the doubt. You lose that goodwill that you had. You know, like, I've talked about it. They haven't... One NLCS appearance in six seasons. I mean, mm-hmm. is that enough to build a statue for him? Like, no. So, and to go through as many managers that he's gone through and collapses that he's gone through and just really odd and weird quotes from him about this team and leadership. And like, he doesn't have the benefit of the doubt right now. I'm sorry. The rest of his career that he had previous to this, like, that's great. But to sit here and be like, oh yeah, Manny's going to show up. Well, we've been waiting for 2 years, guys.
Well, but here's the funny thing. It's not that funny. If Manny had a down year last year, this year is incomparable. He's 115 OPS points below last year. And we all agree it was a down year. He had a 782 OPS, reasonable. But I think the standard with Manny should be 800, even though he's never been a crazy high OPS guy historically. That's not who he is. But he's got a 667 OPS. We are two series away from the halfway point. We're six games away, the Philly series, and then whomever they play when they come home. And like you said, I don't even care, even though they're not playing, like Darnay, who might be here now, put out a tweet saying, hey, these next 10 games are like the biggest games of the year. And I'm with you, which is like, dude, they go 7-3 against good teams, or 3-7 against good teams, or 7-3 against bad teams. It doesn't even matter. So the point being that in six games we're at the halfway point, and he's going to have a sub-700 OPS unless he hits two or three home runs this week, which maybe he – like a year ago he hit 30 home runs.
I know.
He's on pace right now to hit 13. That ain't 30 to 28.
He's going to have to get 30 real to hot 13. Here. He's going to have to get real hot. You know, we're halfway through June. I think last year.
He was somehow at six in June at one point.
Was it July where he kind of turned it on?
I'll look at his game logs.
I don't fully remember. I think it was July because August, everyone had a bad month. August, true. The team just completely quit. I mean, the team just lost it.
In July, he had a ton of home runs because he had two homer games in July. So he had in July, just for reference to your point, is he hit 11 home runs in July.
That's why he got the 30 home runs.
He hit 11.
Right.
I mean, are we banking on that this year? I'm not.
I mean, say he has one more home run this month and he gets 11. And I mean, you got what, 18 right there?
Then you actually have a shot. I'd actually be like, yeah, you could do it.
Right.
I know that's where it's hard. That's where it's hard.
But I feel like it should not be about Manny just getting to that benchmark of 30 home runs. Like,
they won 68 games, but he hit 30 homers.
Like, just like, be better. Like, I don't care if you hit 20 home runs or you hit 30 home runs. I want you to be a lot better. And if you hit 20 home runs, then I hope you have an OPS or over 800 at least. I mean, you're not a 900 OPS guy. We know that.
No, he's not.
But like, I feel like a good season for Manny now is like 820 OPS, 830. Like, that's a really good season for Manny.
I don't even know. What's his career OPS? 823. So, I mean, if he touches his career OPS, that's a good year. Now, it's crazy that his career OPS. What's his best OPS season? Was it the year he got traded to the Dodgers?
Yeah, we talked about it the other night. I think it was like a 9.
What is it?
905 or 9 something.
Yeah, like combined that. 905 OPS. He had 950 in 60 games. He played every game in 2020. That wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would have kept it up or not. 950 is pretty crazy. I mean, dude, from 950 to this.
Yeah, not great.
Wow, we had a 950 OPS for 60 games. I mean, can he do that ever again in the next 9+ years as a Padre? 950 for a 60-game stretch? Will he ever do that again in his career? Hope so.
Probably not.
But I'm not banking on it.
Yeah.
Will, thank you for your membership in the Super. He says the MVP Manny will be back next year.
Nice.
Once the surgery behind him, this version of Manny is still better than average player. It's not. His OPS plus is 93, and average OPS plus is 100. He's actually 7% worse of an offensive player than the major league average player. Think about that. He's 7% worse than the average hitter in the major leagues in 2024. Now, I don't disagree with the point that I'm not saying he's done.
No.
He might have a good second half, and he might have a great 2025. I'm not saying he's done, but I am saying he has things to prove.
Yeah, and I think that's where people like the Manny like apologists or the diehard Manny fans, when someone says that like he's got something to prove, there's a lot of pushback, and the question is like, why doesn't Manny have anything to prove? Why? Because of what he did in Baltimore? Because of what he did in 2022? Like, is that really going to be the baseline for proving it? Like, guys have great seasons all the time. Manny's longevity is going to probably put him in the Hall of Fame, you know, but it's not 2018 anymore. It's 2024. Mm-hmm. And in 2024, you're a different player than 2018 or even 2022. And it's about, what have you done for me lately? It's about, what can you do for this team now? Because they are in a win now mode. At least that's the thought process, right? I mean, if this team was, if you looked at every position on this team and they had like a bunch of rookies everywhere and just they weren't good and no one's expecting them to go to the postseason, Manny would not be getting criticized like this if he's having a down year.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Manny's next hit, like this all, like, because I'll see everyone, so like, oh, Manny's not a Hall of Famer. Manny's next hit is his 1,800th. He's 31. He's got 9 years. He's under control for the next 9.5 years. He will get to 3,000 hits. He will get to three. He's absolutely pacing for it. Now, 500 home runs is arguable because the guy has no power right now, so maybe that comes back with his elbow surgery. But, I mean, he's going to get to 3,000 hits. And like you said, he's got a better-than-average shot to end up in Cooperstown one day, whether people like it, hate it, or are indifferent to it. Can we tell our viewers about our brand new partner here on the Wrap Up Show, Jim? You've got a Mova Globe right behind you. I've got a Mova Globe right here. Look at this thing, guys. And you might say, how is it spinning? And I would tell you, through light and magnets. This is an amazing product, officially licensed from our friends at Mova Globes. They're rotating globes powered by light. No cords, no batteries, no attachments. By the way, their founder is, this technology was invented in Cardiff by the Sea, right here in San Diego. Jim used to live in Cardiff by the Sea. He is not the inventor. There's no chance Jim would ever come up with something like this.
I couldn't do this, but even
this
try.
This is a first of its kind technology. Click the link pinned in the top of the chat, or click the link in the description down below if you're looking for more information. By the way, if you use promo code PWS10, that's Padres Wrap Up Show, PWS10, you're going to get 10% off. This is a really cool item. Great for a desk. Honestly, these things are soothing just to look at. I know Jim feels the same way as I do. My five-year-old Jones loves it. My wife thinks it's so cool. They've got all 30 major league teams, by the way. Maybe your brother-in-law loves the whomever, Milwaukee Brewers. You can pick one up. Great birthday gift. Just a really cool, unique item. And you can get 10% off right now by using promo code PWS10. If you want to enter to win one, by the way, go over to Instagram, Jim, and tell our viewers more about that.
Well, first off, if you're not following us on Instagram at John and Jim, what are you doing?
Yes, that's right.
Second off, if you haven't yet, I know we have over 240 people in the chat right now. Go over to our Instagram page at John and Jim. Okay. Find our post. It's like the last post that we did. Okay. We are giving away a Padres Mova Globe, and it's very, very easy to enter. All you have to do is be following John and Jim and Mova Globe on Instagram, like the post, and then comment on the post tagging another fellow Padres fan. And you can enter as many times as you want. There's not just a one-time entry. And we are going to be selecting the winner on Tuesday night's wrap-up show. Okay? Tuesday night's wrap-up show, we will be selecting a winner
this
awesome Mova Globe for Padres fans out there. And by the way, like John said, if you're watching us, we have a lot of like other fans of other teams watching us. You can go and get your favorite team's Mova Globe right now. Every single major league team is available at movaglobes.com.
It's true. The world globes are amazing.
I agree. The Earth Globe.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous. There's a lot of them.
Insane.
My son wants one. I'm gonna find a way to get one of these because they're ridiculous. Look at these, by the way, outer space.
I know. They are. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's different types of Earth Mova Globes. And
a lot of these are sold out, by the way. You're gonna find out as well.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. So again, Instagram at John and Jim to enter our giveaway contest for a Padres Mova Globe. And if you want to check their website out, pinned to the top of the chat. Also, promo code John, right?
Well, hold on. Promo code's PWS10 and you get 10% off. Michael Lynn actually is a representative for Mova Globe.
Actually, no, I'm kidding.
He's a huge supporter of the wrap-up show, and he's with us like each and every night, including tonight. He was there on Friday night as well. So he's now saying, because he works for Mova, if the Padres win 5 straight, now he's got the laughing emojis.
That's true.
Michael, are you being serious or not? Well, how about this? If they win 5 straight, Michael, we're doing another giveaway, right? We'll definitely do another giveaway. And by the way, my 5-year-old is asking for a globe, and I'm talking about like the world. So we'll have to talk about that on the side as well. This is hilarious. He knows it's not going to happen.
He's putting an insurmountable, like unobtainable win streak.
Listen, the Padres win 5 they win 5 straight. And
right.
Listen, even if it happens in 2049, if the wrap-up show still exists, next time the Padres win 5 straight, we're giving away more Mova Globes. Look at this. NS says the product is beautiful. It's a spectacular product.
It really is. But check it out. I mean, the globes they have, the Earth globes, the Sun globes, like Jupiter they have. They have the solar system. And if you're another fan of another team, like
if you want a Dodgers globe, they have an offer where you pay 10% more because you're watching it. So use promo code PWS10. The price goes up 10%. But no, thank you guys for hanging out.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Carlos, who is a longtime viewer.
Oh, boy.
Let's see what Carlos has to say about the Padres. Carlos, awesome to have you with us, as always. He says, and thank you for the super chat, seriously. He says, did not watch a single game because I saw they were losing all of them when I tuned in. This is pathetic, to be honest. It's like being in a toxic relationship.
That's what I said.
It's a true roller coaster. It is the most up and down thing you could possibly imagine. From not like sweeping the A's as the greatest accomplishment in franchise history. We pretend
it's a high mark of the season.
Well, we pretended like it was because they hadn't swept anyone.
I know.
Who knows when? 2023. But to go to New York, where the Mets have been bad. I mean, they got nothing going on, man. They've got truly nothing going on. And to see J.D. Martinez do what he did this weekend is so incredibly frustrating. Brandon Nimmo do what he did. Francisco Lindor play the way he played. Their middle infield, by the way. Lindor made a couple of phenomenal plays in the middle of the infield. But here's the most frustrating part, Jim. To Carlos's point, the Padres kept the Mets in the "we're not going to sell" conversation. That's what they did. If the Padres won 2 out of 3, dare I say, certainly if they won all 3 games, I know it's another universe. Shout out Movaglobes. But if the Padres swept the series, the Mets are selling everything they can possibly sell. Now they still may. There's a month to go, month and a half.
They're 10 games under this sweep. Right
now, the Mets are like, you know what? We're right where the Padres are. Despite our shit season, we are right where the Padres are. You know what? Let's go chase it down. They would do the same thing. Why don't we do the exact same thing? Let's just find a way to add a piece and see if we can catch lightning in a bottle and win 80 games.
And honestly, Carlos, like, good on you, man. This is I know how diehard of a Padres fan you are.
He's a diehard Padres fan. He is.
And frankly, it's just, at times, it's just not worth your mental health. Really, it's really not. You know, it's
just come here for the wrap-up show.
Like, go outside, go to the beach, go to a movie.
That's disgusting. Like, it was like 75 and sunny. Why would you do that?
Right. Go get some drinks somewhere with a nice view. Oh, like,
it's terrible.
You know, the Padres, if you sit down and watch every single one of these games, I'm not saying not to watch, but like, sometimes people need breaks. And this is a toxic relationship with their fan base, whether they like it or not. They put this team, or they put these fans, through such emotional roller coasters the last 5 seasons. I mean, with only really two highs. I mean, even the 2022 year, if we're being honest here,
yeah,
up into the postseason, wasn't like this, like ascending roller coaster where you're like, this is so good. Like, it was a lot of ups and downs to the point of there was a lot of question marks and just be and,
yeah, definitely.
And there hurt. Were yeah. So again, I mean, they are going to make you want to pull your hair out and you'll come back, and they know you'll come back, and it's frustrating as hell.
But like, to Carlos's point, as he follows up with another super, and thank you, man, again, he says they will be buyers. Like, let's just remember that. He goes on to say, but come on, crochet and a bat won't change the team. I was stoked after going to Wednesday's game. And they follow up with this. Yeah, Wednesday was, like Jim just said, kind of a high water mark for the season. Padres sweeping the A's, doing so in come from behind fashion. I do believe, I mean, I'd be shocked if they weren't buyers, even if they, I mean, what are they, game under right now? Let's say they continue to play like this. Let's say they're 2 under, 3 under, 4 under. I still think they're buyers. I think they will chase this thing down to the bitter end until there are no chips on the table and the general manager is no longer the general manager. I think he will do everything in his power to get to the postseason in 2024. And if they don't, we'll have that conversation. But I don't care if they get to 4 games under .500 or 5 games under .500. I still think they're going to be buyers in the end.
They'll be buyers, but anybody out there thinking that it's a foregone conclusion that Garrett Crochet is just going to get traded here, because
that's the other thing that I agree. I mean,
dude, you got there are going to be so many teams out there for Garrett Crochet. The White Sox are probably sitting there thinking, we could literally get anybody we wanted. And what if they don't view Dylan Lesko and Robbie Snelling as in high regard as they view someone else on, say, like the Dodgers or the Yankees, right? Then it's over. And all the eggs you put in that Garrett Crochet basket are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not really much left out there that is, I think, super exciting.
You're saying trade capital wise? A trade prospect?
Like, do you want to get Jack Flaherty? Do you want to go get...
No, it's a great point. Like Jesus Luzardo. I like Jesus Luzardo. We've seen him pitch against the Padres a number of times. He's got like a 5 ERA this year. Is he really making you that much better this year? Maybe he does next year. Maybe he gives you a couple quality starts. But I mean, like to Carlos makes a great point. Is it really... You get someone August 1, you got 60 games. If it's a starter, it's 12 starts.
Yeah.
How many more wins is that worth than the replacement? One?
Well, two? I mean, like I said, a couple of weeks, like last week, you trade the farm again for what, 83 wins?
I think they would do it if they could guarantee they were going to get there. Because I think 83 is probably going to be enough for someone to get into the postseason. Like JD's third says, and thank you for the super chat, says, if we're sellers, who do we give up at the deadline? I mean, no one is safe. I mean, obviously Ethan Salas, Leo DeVries, whatever. It's unlikely they're moving. Let's be honest. It's probably unlikely. It's possible, but unlikely. And then beyond that, like everyone could move, or anyone, not everyone, anyone among the group of coveted prospects could move if you're trying to bolster your major league roster at the deadline.
You know why everybody is like mostly pissed here every other day with this Padres team?
Every other day. Yes, that's exactly right. Why?
Not because like one singular thing. It's because the expectations, everybody thought they were going to be better. Like, everybody. And if you're a fan of the, who is a team right now in the hunt? Everybody, right?
Washington, Pittsburgh.
If you're Arizona, a fan of the, if you're a fan of the Nationals, right? Even if they lose a game, you're not sitting here like, I fucking hate this team.
No. People are excited.
No one is. Yeah, because it's like, oh, a young and upcoming team kind of in the mix. Like, hey, they get kind of hot, make maybe a trade for like a veteran player or two. You know, who knows with the National League? Like, you're feeling way more optimistic and having more of a positive conversation if you're doing a, you know, Washington Nationals post game show or a Pittsburgh Pirates post game show. When those teams aren't investing the close to $200 million in the payroll and trading off every single piece in their minor league organization to make blockbuster move after blockbuster move and committing $300 million to like basically three players in your organization, and you have four guys, almost five guys making 20 plus million. No, they're not. This team is. And that's why it's a completely different atmosphere, and why I frankly think if you get to 83 wins, even if you make it, like, how can you not view that as like somewhat disappointing?
Bro, I'm hoisting freaking banners, pennants, and giveaway toys for 2025 at 83 wins if they're in.
It's not what they
and AJ Preller can get a 1 year extension on the other side of that thing. Carlos, maybe not the 1 year extension, but he ain't going anywhere.
Is that sustainable?
83 wins sustainable?
Like, you won 83 games. And now the next year, it's like,
next year is next year. You're right. Your point is accurate. But it's like, this is probably a bad analogy because I don't watch TV shows, but I'm going to do it anyway. But I did watch the show, but it's been like 10 years and I don't know what happened. It's like Breaking Bad. Hear me out.
They all die.
Yeah, you're not worried about the, you're just trying to like stay alive. Like you're just trying to avoid getting like, I don't know, killed or arrested, or you're just trying to stay one step ahead. So if they go 83 and 79 and make the postseason, they'll worry about 2025 then, because they dodged the bullet, so to speak.
It will be dependent on what they would do in the postseason if they made it. That's how
not for me.
Nope, that's how I view it for me.
But no, I agree with how you view it, but the organization will not view it that way.
I don't give a fuck what the organization thinks. I'm telling you what I think.
That's fine, but we're not running the organization.
I know we are. I'm just telling you what I think and what my opinion would be.
Fair, but the team that won 84 games.
The organization,
the team that won 84 games last year, won the National League pennant.
I know the organization. This team makes it into 81 and 81 is literally going to throw a fucking parade and have bobbleheads next year every night commemorating their postseason appearance
for 81 games.
Yes, and Mike Schilt will be like, ha, told you so.
People doubted this team. We won two series.
Yeah. And then I'll be like, Mike Schilt, Shut the fuck up. But it is what it is.
Someone wouldn't want to grab that video. All right, Carlos, thank you for the super chat. If you're here, please subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans. Smash the like button for us. Thank you for the super chats. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box. Carlos says this is Preller's last chance, and he won't fold on the season. I agree. Bullpen is Estrada and Suarez, and offense is depending on the Merrill's, Solano's, Profar's. Shake my head. Now, Estrada, now again, he was sick. I was shocked they left him out there as long as they did today.
Dude.
I mean, I was almost surprised. Again, you score four runs, so I get chasing the game down. It's 7-6. You're not punting on a game after scoring four runs. But he didn't have it. And now have you – you probably can't go back to him tomorrow, right? What, he throw 30 pitches and he's not healthy? You're going to go back to him tomorrow with a one-run lead in the eighth inning? I don't see it. So they chased it down. Didn't work out. It threw too many pitches. What'd you say?
Said no chance.
Yeah, no chance. Or how many pitches did he throw? It was a ton.
He threw today – let's see here.
27. It felt like 100.
I mean,
maybe they would.
De Los Santos, can you just stop giving up like home run after home? Wait, no, he didn't give a home run today. Sorry.
No, but I'm all for. Why did De Los Santos not come in earlier?
Yeah, he gave the home run yesterday. My bad. Yeah, I mean, you used. Here's a thing, too. You used De Los Santos, even though he threw two pitches, so you're fine there.
Yeah, you're fine.
But Estrada's down tomorrow. Matsui's down tomorrow. The greatest relief pitcher on the planet for Mike Schilt, Stephen Kolek, is down tomorrow.
Well, here's the other thing. The day before, the starter went 3 2/3 innings as well. Major.
Yeah.
So Brito went 2 1/3. I mean, maybe he's available tomorrow. And then Kolek is back-to-back days. No, De Los Santos is back-to-back days. I mean, do you go to for a third straight day? Probably. Off two pitches, veteran, why not? But, again, like, you're going to – you got a tough series coming up. Philadelphia just went 3-5 in an eight-game road trip, and they're getting Trey Turner back. Now, they're without JT Realmuto, but you're seeing good pitching, and you're taking on a team that's 47-24 that's not thrilled with how their road trip just went. So, like – this is a show me series for the Padres. Like, show me you care, like we all care. Go win that series. That would be very impressive to me. We're going to get back to the conversation, Jim, in a moment. Do a reminder of viewers about our partner here on the wrap-up show. They've been with us for the last 5-6 weeks. Really cool company. San Diego startup filled with Padres fans. San Diego through and through. A local San Diego company with offices that oversee Petco Park. Let me explain Finleet to you. Finleet allows fans to own a piece of the potential upside of real athletes. Let me explain. Fernando Tatis Jr. did a deal with a similar company called Big League Advance when he was in the minor leagues. He gave up something like 10% of future earnings for guaranteed revenue when he was in the minor leagues. And that means he gave up tens of millions of dollars. Like, imagine if you could have invested in Fernando Tatis Jr., you could be rich based on that one investment. Well, Finleet has their first athlete. His name is Ashedri Vargas. He's one of the top prospects in the Texas Rangers organization. Nobody's saying Vargas is going to turn out to get a $340 million contract like Tatis. But what Finleet allows you to do, which is something Big League Advance didn't allow you to do, is you can support a rising prospect and get paid a piece of his major league earnings directly. He signed for very little money. They're raising capital so he can focus on baseball year-round. But as you see on the screen, if you scroll down, you can invest for as little as $96. And should he reach the big leagues and have success, you could turn that into hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And the more you invest, the more you could potentially have in terms of a investment return. I'm talking about thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. So great company. If you're looking for more information, you can click the link in the description down below. And thank you, Finleet, for your support of the wrap-up show.
Yeah, we are finalizing something with them that I think we'll be able to announce tomorrow. Hopefully.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Just make sure you guys keep open July 12th. July 12th. Put that on your calendar, everybody. Just put that on your calendar. July 12th. We're doing something potentially. I think we'll be able to announce it tomorrow with a partnership with Finleet. But yeah, we're great there. We're happy they're on board. Link is there in their description below. Click on that link. Go to their website. Check them out. Like Mark Grant, he's an advisor of Finleet. Keith Law. Everybody knows Keith Law, super high on Ashedri Vargas, the athlete that they have here. So go to Finleet, check them out, and we're glad they're on board.
We absolutely are. All right, back with you here. Let's get to some of the super chats. Again, the Padres swept in New York, losing on Sunday 11-6 on Father's Day. By the way, the 10-year anniversary of the passing of Tony Gwynn was today, Sunday, if you're watching this live, if you're watching our replay. That would be 10 years and a day ago. All right, let's get back to these super chats. Moises, thank you for the super. He says, after 10 years in, billion-plus paid in contracts, Preller's now selling us a new pathetic narrative. We suck, but so does everyone else. I don't know if he's selling that narrative. That is true, that the National League isn't good, and it's a lot worse than the American League. It's a little bit like the Western Conference all the years was so much better than the Eastern Conference and the NBA. Each of these last few years, Jim, the National League has not had near the same records as teams in the American League. So I guess that's a win for National League teams. Because listen to this. If the Padres were in, let's do it. If the Padres were in the American League, they would be
fucked.
What's the record?
37 and 38.
So they would be five games out. Toronto's 4.5 at 35 and 36. They'd be 4.5 out. They'd have to leapfrog multiple teams to get there, and they'd be 4.5 out. Not impossible, certainly not at this point, but nowhere near the same chances to get into the postseason. Nowhere near it.
Like, this is why I get so upset when, like, maybe not upset's the right word, but like, oh, 83 wins, they got in, yay. I mean, there should be, for what Moises is saying here, the amount that money and investments with their minor league system, right, signings, everything that has gone to this organization, to lower your standard to everybody else because, you know, that's where the rest of the National League is around you, is a pathetic standard to lower yourself to. Like, have some fucking... standards for yourself. Like, have some respect, have an idea of what you want to be and go try to get it instead of lowering yourself to everybody else around you because it's the easy thing to do and you're not really frankly screwed because everyone else around you sucks and you suck too. And just because you're around everybody else in the playoff picture doesn't mean that you should be praised for it at all. It should be kind of the opposite. Like, this is really what you sold everybody for. I mean, imagine, and they're lucky. They are lucky that the rest of the National League around them sucks. Because if they didn't, we would be having a completely different conversation about this franchise, John. But because everyone else around them is bad, then we're supposed to look at this team as, like, I don't, like, good?
No, but here's the thing. Your point's valid. But the truth is, man, you consume it like I do. Nobody's saying it. Like, there's a high amount of criticism being levied towards the Padres. Is there not? Locally?
Well.
Socially?
From us?
Even nationally?
I think accountability is a trying to get there.
But here's the thing. And that criticism will be warranted and will occur throughout the course of this 162-game season until they make the postseason. There will still be criticism. There will be detractors and doubters. There will be people like yourself. I'll be questioning their ability at 83 and 79. But you know what else I'll be selling? I'll be selling, hey, they got Cease, Crochet, and Darvish. They got Machado and Tatis. You know what I mean? Like, in the hey, they can win a short series.
I will be too. That's what I said. I said, I will do that. And it's based on how they do and perform in the postseason. Mm-hmm. If they get there, 83 wins, you get to the postseason. We're talking strictly how can they win this series versus X team. Okay. But if they get swept in the wild card round, then my opinion on this team will be that's not good enough. And if you think it is, I don't know what to tell you because that right there is like the lowest bar that you're trying to hop over. And for a franchise that spent that much money, for you to be praising that as successful is ridiculous.
I agree. I mean, we're way too far out because, Jim, the truth is, and you know this, this is like throwing a dart at any specific number. Like, the odds that they actually land on 83 isn't incredibly likely. It could be 82 and out, or 84. 83 and in, or 84. And, you know what I mean? Like, as in, whatever happens, we're going to have to judge it based on what occurred. Mm-hmm. Do they win 81 games and miss? Do they win 81 games and make? Do they win 7 of 10 to get in? Do they lose 7 of 10 to get out? Like, it's all going to occur in real time. Because we're too far out to know what dart they're going to throw. You know what I mean?
Totally. And if they got in at whatever number, whatever low number that we're talking about here, right? Unless they won, I mean, they won 89 games. That's off the table. Like,
I think 85 or more, you can't ask for them. But that's the state of the wild card the last couple. 85 has gotten teams in.
Right. And again, I guess I said I picked them to win 86 games for that reason there. So I'm not sitting there saying, wow, this bar they just jumped over is a bar that's so low. Why are we praising it? Like, 86 is pretty decent now in baseball. And you rarely get the teams constantly. I mean, you're not seeing like 10 teams win 90 games. It doesn't happen. Maybe like four. And so you get to the mid to high 80s. That's pretty decent season.
Yeah. It'd be a decent year.
And they make it into 82 and 80 or whatever the case may be. Then you're right. It is a, okay, well, now they have a chance to kind of wipe away this pretty mediocre season, and they got in and they got lucky to get in, frankly, and now go out and you can erase all the bullshit that happened in an 82 win season by going to an NLCS or going to a World Series. And no one's talking about the 82 win season at all. But that's all dependent on if they do that.
Yeah. Which, again, it's not going to be easy, but who the hell even knows in baseball and the National League. And every team's the same to this point from J.D. Gaucho. And thank you, J.D. Gaucho. Thanks for the supers, guys. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. We get to all of them. Great way to support our work. I mean, this is baseball. The 13th best team in the National League has just as good of a shot of making the postseason as the fifth, because there's 9 teams within 2 games of each other, something like that, 2 or 2.5. Yeah. So baseball probably loves it. Because if you're Rob Manfred, you're like, wow, look, New York City, they're interested. The Mets are into it, even though they suck. But they're going to be around in July, as opposed to if it was 1997 and everyone would be like, this franchise sucks.
Bro, you know Mets fans. They're not saying they're in it. They're saying this is all fool's gold.
Believe me. I completely. They're booing freaking Jake Diekman in like a 7-3 game. I get it.
Right. They've won 5 in a row. They're a game and a half out. Everyone's like, this team is shit.
It's not just I think now they've won 11 of 15 or 10 of 14. They've played okay here to get, but that's the thing. Any team that has a good week is going to be in it. And that's why I'm like, even if the Padres have a bad week, and they've had a lot of them, but if this is a 1-5 trip, which is 1-2 in Philadelphia, it can be rectified. As stupid as it sounds, I'm not excusing it. I'm not an apologist. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. They can rectify it with a 4-2 week. You're like, oh, look, they bounce back. That's what's happening right now. Unless you go 1-9 over a 10-game stretch, 2-14 over a 16-game stretch, you're going to hang around. So J.D. Gaucho says Mets 13th in the NL, a game and a half out of the last wild card. OMG, he's right. It's crazy. It's only the halfway point, not even. But it is. It's crazy. It's a bottleneck.
It's wild. They're going to win 70 games. They're going to lose 70 games. What they do?
We're like 80-80. What do they do in the other two games?
Dude, they're going to win 75. They're going to lose 75.
What are they doing there? 5 games. No, yeah, but you're right. Your point's valid. They're not winning fewer than 70, and they're not losing less than 70, obviously.
Right. So it's like those 22 games, that's where your season's made. A 22 game stretch could make or break, is going to make or break your season.
9 of them, they're 0-9 in. Arguably, the Mets, freaking Angels, Rockies. That's but true. Then again, they're 3-0 against the A's. You know my point. I mean, it's so dumb. HBBV, thank you, man, for your membership in the Super. He says they better sweep the Phillies or I'll be an Angels fan.
Get ready to be an Angels fan.
Of all the teams, it's the last team I'm selecting if I'm changing my fandom. JD Gacha, thank you. He says on a lighter note, maybe Preller scouting in Omaha right now. Oh, a little college World Series talk.
He never scouts college players. It's high school for him or international. That's
true.
It.
Yeah, that's true.
Padres first draft pick. College player with like, I mean,
dude, that's the other thing. JD Gaucho, that brings up a good point. Ain't getting saved by some high pick. Your first pick's 25th.
Yeah.
What? Oh, because of the freaking CBT. Because they've been knocked down because of the CBT.
Imagine when they go out and trade for whoever, and then boom, right over the CBT again.
No, I don't think they'll go over it. They know that's the one game they're not going to play. Because it's their money and it's their penalties. And you know what the penalties are? Draft penalties. Like this, they're not picking 25th if not for CBT penalties. They weren't good last year. Are they picking 25th? They should be picking 15th, is my guess. They got docked 10 spots because of CBT penalties. So that's the one thing they're not doing. I guess you can never say never. I guess if they win like 20 straight games, maybe they would go over the CBT threshold.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Underdog Fantasy. Let's play along together tomorrow. Let's turn the ship around. It might not happen overnight, but let's turn the ship around. Simple higher or lower games are going on right now. If you scan the QR code on the screen, it's just over Jim's head, or click the link in the description down below. You're getting a 50% deposit match up to $250 in bonus bucks, plus a free special pick. How simple is it to win? Let's explain. Randy Vasquez tomorrow. Let's say he does not allow a hit in the first inning. Very possible. Okay. That pays 1.2 times. And then let's say that, what else, Jim? Give me something. Let's say.
Well, since I always lose.
Yeah.
Give me, I'm just going to go. How about this? I'll bet against the Padres. So okay. Give me a Padres. Go down. Luis Arraez. Luis Arraez lower.
Look at you. I need multiple teams, and I need a filler.
I know. Give me. Go down. Scroll down. Where's Manny?
How about Trey Turner's return?
All right. Give me higher on whatever Trey Turner's dishing out there.
Only 2.25 on a homer, but we'll take it.
Higher. Boom.
By the way, that if you go 3 for 3 there, folks, on $10, you're winning $137.70.
I'll happily take the $10 loss on everybody's account here. Give me a Manny lower than whatever else, too. Give me Manny lower than
1.5 total bases.
Yeah.
Now we're up to $10 pays $175.50. But wait, let's finish this off with
Give me a lower on Toddy somewhere.
Wow, you were doing that.
Yeah. Going full jinx. Go back down. Go up. Dude, you just passed him. What's going on here?
Where is he?
It's on the left-hand side. Above Manny. Above right here.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Lower on total bases.
Lower, boom. Okay.
Boom.
There you go. Deal.
That pays $241.70, but here's the thing. You can get one wrong, and you still win if you go 4 out of 5. If you go 5 out of 5, you can still win $120.80. But that's how simple it is. It's fun. It's simple. It's easy. You can win big-time money. Jim's had a couple that have hit for $400 or $500. I win all the time because I play two pick-ups, and I play trying to win $50. Well, 30, actually, to be honest.
Here's the thing. This is the slump buster play. And by slump buster play, I mean, we're going to have to do some sacrificing here, guys. We're going to have to do some sacrificing. Like, we might have to sacrifice a little bit of change to turn this Padres team around. And every time I pick something that's higher for a Padres player, it's shit. So I'm just going to say they're all going to suck tomorrow.
Use promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. Get a 50% deposit match and a free special pick. Play along with us tomorrow. Do some anti-Padres picks. Like you said, slump-busting picks.
Slump-busting picks, man.
Promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. That is promo code PODSWRAP. Get that 50% deposit match plus a free special pick. Play along beginning tomorrow for Padres and Phillies. The matchup again tomorrow is not overly appealing if you're a Padres fan, in my opinion. That would be Randy Vasquez, who's been good enough against, Christopher Sanchez, who in 70 innings this year as a lefty has a 3.07 ERA. So pray for rain. I'm just kidding.
Here's what's going to happen. Padres are going to get swept this series. They're going to have an 0-6 road trip.
Are you doing the reverse jinx? He's doing the reverse jinx.
I'm not supposed to say that. I said they're going to hit Sean Manaea on Friday, and they didn't do shit against Sean Manaea. I picked Rory to win the freaking U.S. Open. He choked that away.
Your fault. He hit me. Dude, I'm making those putts at putt-putt.
If you're a 5 handicap, you're making those putts, Sean.
That's exactly right. I've freaking played Pinehurst number 2.
Right. If you played it, then you know. And I would have made those putts.
Yes, I know you would have, especially on a freaking U.S. Open Sunday. Easy.
I picked the Mavs to win versus the Celtics. I picked the Edmonton Oilers to win against the Florida Panthers. Padres are getting swept this series by the Phillies. No doubt in my mind. I'd be shocked if they won a game.
I like where your head's at. I like where your head's at. I mean, that's basically, I mean, that's the state of the Padres right now. Like, we covered everything. Manny. I mean, the Tatis thing is, that's confounding. That's confusing, isn't it? Like, this guy was rolling.
He had a horrible series
like that. I know it's one series, but.
Tony said it on the broadcast. And obviously he knows way more about baseball than I do. But like, he mentioned that it looked like he was pressing and trying to do more.
Oh, he was trying to hit home runs.
Yeah, like what he was doing for his 17-game hitting streak, just completely threw that out the window. Like, just
like, taking, hey, I'm in New York, let me go hit 12 home runs.
Yeah, like, take what the pitcher gives you. Don't give in. Take it the other way. Short, compact swing. Like, and just all of a sudden, he was trying to hit 500-foot home runs.
Just looking at the rest of the box score, like, Profar's been really solid. What else? Merrill's been obviously amazing. I mean, do we talk about Merrill? He's hit all these home runs against left-handed pitching.
Without Merrill, this team has had how many? I mean, they'd be on or they would have until today, like a 30-game score or a 30-inning scoreless streak.
Right, yeah. He's been a big part of the offense. I'm telling you, man, I'm getting sick and tired of watching guys get thrown out on the bases. Again, Kim was picked off first base today. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Kim, to me, and I said this earlier, you don't get the benefit of the doubt to freaking not be held up at third because you run into more outs than anyone. So, sorry, dude. Like, I know you're running like your hair's on fire, but maybe you should run more, like, efficiently because I don't know what the hell he's doing, dude. Does anyone get picked off more bases or thrown out at more bases than Ha-Seong Kim? How many times has it happened this year?
He's backed up his really good season last year with a season where I'm like, you're done. I'm not paying this guy.
Sorry. Yeah. Like,
no, I'm not paying. Like, hey, it was great. I can find someone better than you. I can find someone just as good as you. I know.
I'll give you one other, obviously Merrill's very encouraging. Let's be honest. It's very good. If he can somehow maintain this for a little bit of period of time. Great.
Amazing.
And Campy's played better. He had a couple of like flares but Campy, like, he was as low as it gets.
Yeah.
And he's had a couple of decent games here.
He's your nine hitter, so you're not asking that much of him.
Exactly. So that's where you are. I mean, Dylan Cease, are we worried? Are we concerned? Too long.
A little bit, yeah.
Dude, the first batter, Lindor homer.
Fucking bomb.
Pete Alonso, freaking mammoth homer. There's nobody out. He's throwing like 30 pitches. I'm like, what is going on here?
No, I'm concerned. I haven't really criticized or said much about Dylan Cease this year. Because I wanted to have him be who he was for the first month and a half. But, like, dude, what he's doing lately, it's not going to cut it. Not good enough. You need to start pitching better. Every time you go out there, you're giving up fucking home run after. It's like a given almost that he's going to give up at least one home run every outing right now.
Dude, he's given up a lot of home runs. Whatever I tweeted, two homers in his first seven starts or first eight, and now nine home runs his last seven.
Yeah, it's not good. And he's got to be a lot better. I mean, that's unacceptable to go out there and put, I mean, yeah, it's just not good, man. He's got to be better, a lot better.
And no, there's no way Kim opts in. I don't see it because he could get multiple years. He's still like in his 20s. I don't think he has a bad year and then opts into another year with the Padres. I'd be surprised. I don't think a good agent would tell someone to do that. I think he gets multiple years.
He'll go to the Giants with Woosuck Go.
Yeah, and hit 155.
Hit 222, yeah.
Or hit 355 and piss us
that
off.
That too, yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. Well, this has been a fun 75 minutes with everyone on the wrap-up show. Join us tomorrow on San Diego Sports 760. We'll lead you up to Padres Phillies. Sure, they're playing most of the game during our show, but we'll preview the game and we will, I'll promise you that we'll talk to someone on the Padres. We'll talk to someone on the Phillies in the first 45 minutes or so of the show. So join us tomorrow on John and Jim, San Diego Sports 760. We're on YouTube, by the way. You can find us there if you're not in San Diego. But if you're in San Diego, listen on San Diego Sports 760. You can always listen anywhere on the free iHeartRadio app as well. And then join us tomorrow night. Jim said we might have some news to share tomorrow night. So make sure to join us tomorrow night on the wrap-up show, win or lose, Padres-Phillies game one. It's a 3:40 start. We'll do a wrap-up show normal Pacific time like we always do at 9:30. So it'll be a couple hours after Padres-Phillies. Whatever happens, we'll be with you a couple hours later. J.D. Gaucho, thanks, man. He says, yeah, this is a big – by the way, Betts, I don't know if he mentions it. Yeah, he did. So Betts out, Yamamoto out. They're 8 games better than the Padres, but, again, they're dealing with things that they've dealt with as well. Dodgers put Yamamoto on the IL. Betts fractures his hand. Muncy's still out. How have the Padres not made a move in the NL West? Because they're not good.
They're not a good baseball team.
Like – the Dodge, like, I almost hate to do this because I think most Padres fans understand this, but there are those people, and J.D. Gaucho is not one of them, but there's those people like, yeah, like, hey, they're still in a decent position. Like, no. That's the last thing the Padres should worry about is catching the L.A. Dodgers. The L.A. Dodgers are falling out of bed, even with these injuries and with this, quote-unquote, poor play. And how many wins? I mean, what's the worst-case scenario for the Dodgers win-wise? 94?
92.
Okay. I'll go 92. What's the record? What's the record right now?
40 something. I don't know. 47, 45.
I love how you're throwing it out. 44 and 29. So a 603 winning percentage. They're pacing. Let's play that game. Calc. They are pacing 0.603 times 162 equals. They're pacing for 98 wins. So if they take a step back on that, they're going to win 95 games. 94, what's worst case? Like Jim said, 92 is absolute bottom of the barrel. Worst case, everything went wrong.
They still win the division by 6 games.
Yeah, so don't worry about it because the Padres can't win 92 games. Jim just told you they're losing 70.
Yeah.
You know?
Not happening.
And by the way, they're capable of winning 102 or 106 if they get going at some point.
Nobody.
So I don't care about them is my point.
The Padres are never going to win a division title over the Dodgers and for the foreseeable future unless, like, I mean, you see a shooting star and you wish the Padres go on a 20-game win streak and that happens. Like, it's just not happening, okay? This team does not have the mental toughness to win a division title. They don't. They don't. They're not good enough. They don't have the players who come up in big moments like the Dodgers do. They don't have the consistency as a team, and they don't have, frankly, a track record or a we've been there before, you know, mentality that the Padres do. The Padres, this franchise and this team in this iteration is built upon mediocrity and collapses. With brief moments of really, really good baseball.
I love this comment.
I know. Yeah, like Manny's not saying that this year.
A couple of things. I'm going to get to Moises' super in a moment. Murray says he's willing to give us $75 on a super if they sweep the Phillies. Do you accept? Sure. And we're going to give everyone here, we're going to give everyone that's watching live or on replay infinity dollars if the Padres win out. From here until the end of the year, we're giving everyone infinity dollars if the Padres win out the rest of the season.
I'll give you my Mova Globe if they go undefeated for the rest of the season. I'll also like give you.
You can have Bentley.
No, bro.
I don't know if they're gonna rattle off 88 straight wins or whatever.
It's like the greatest run in the history of like professional sports.
Times five.
It's crazy. I'll give you guys like my golf clubs.
Oh, that's amazing. Moises says, thank you, Moises. Win or lose, peace. Like, you'll be back either way, hopefully.
Probably. I mean, look, it's an addiction. It's a sick addiction.
I mean, this is why I love sports. This is part of sports. This is part of baseball. It's part of being a Padres fan. Padres they've never had a 100 win season. It's never easy. Even in 98, to your point, they didn't play well down the stretch until they got to the postseason. They won 98 games. I mean, it's never easy.
It's just very hard to cover this team too, because one day every day is a different adventure. Every single day is a new story. It's not a through line.
Shota, how about this? $999.99999 million if they went out and through the World Series. Everyone gets $999.99999 million. It's a lot of money.
Why not?
They have to win their last 80 something plus sweep everyone in the postseason. Everyone gets $999 million. That's a good offer. And Jim is so scared. Like they're gonna win 110 straight.
I'll tattoo my whole face if they win every single game the remainder of the season. Like, okay.
Okay. I will I won't have a bracketologist on in the offseason if the Padres win every single game.
I'll be rooting so hard. What if they win like 10 in a row? Like, holy shit, dude.
No, that's cool. If this well, we were looking for the slump buster. If this turns it around, so be it. If this is what it takes, then this is what it takes.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Guys, we are back tomorrow night on the wrap-up show, back tomorrow 3 on John and Jim. Subscribe, please. We're trying to get, I don't even know where we are, but guys, if you're here, it's Sunday night. We've been with you for 90 minutes. If you're here enjoying the content, please subscribe. It doesn't cost you a penny. It doesn't take anything. So please subscribe. You're on content, home of Real Padres Talk.
We're 50 smash away like from 6,400.
What are we at to?
We're 50 away from 6,400.
Okay, we're not going off the... No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm done.
Okay, I am too. Okay, yeah. Help us get to 6,400, like Jim said. Help us get to 6,400. Mm-hmm. Subscribe. Thank you for the super thanks if you're here on replay. Thank you to all of our partners on the wrap-up show for your support, including our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz, here on the wrap-up show. Padres lose in New York for a third consecutive day. They're swept. Two straight sweeps for the Padres. 1-4, 1-against, though. We will see you tomorrow night and tomorrow afternoon. For Jim, I'm John. This has been the wrap-up show. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker.
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.